Monday, December 20th, planning board meeting at 7:01 p.m.
I'm recording.
Are you?
Yes, we're live.
Okay, let's hand the minute.
Okay, I'm starting the video and I'm starting the recording.
Recording in progress.
Ann and Jerry are on, Peter, remote.
Okay, so we have a quorum.
Yep, we have, seven, yep.
Well, I guess the first thing is that the planning board meeting is called the road for December 20th, whatever it is, to come to order. And seeing as how we have already moved on the minutes of the regular November meeting, we'll go directly to our agenda. And the first one we have up to Harrison Avenue Apartments. Eventually we'll get to a public hearing in that, but before we do, I'm just referring to the environmental assessment form for this project. Board, do you have any questions on project one, the environmental assessment form for Harrison Avenue Park? If not, I guess we'll move to the other one. Part two. And part two, as you are well aware, is participation. The first thing we'd like to know is a yes or no, and then after that we'll get into something great. Part one, in fact, in land, full taxes may involve construction on a physical alteration to the land surface of the proposed site. Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. Obviously, buildings would have not. Now we'll get into the subscript. And here you have two choices. Either no or small impact may occur. Or column two is moderate to large impact may occur. The sub-bullet, the proposed action may involve construction on land with depth to water table is less than 3 feet.
No.
No. Okay. Those actions may involve construction of slopes of 15% or greater.
Yeah.
Proposed action may involve construction of land where bedrock is exposed or greater than 5 feet of existing ground surface.
No.
Proposed action may involve the excavation and removal of more than 1,000 tons of natural material. Proposed action may involve construction that continues for more than 1 year or in multiple phases.
Okay, how long do you expect this to take place?
I would anticipate it to be less than a year from start to decent.
Decent over four. The proposition may result in increased erosion, whether from physical disturbance or vegetation removal.
No.
Rural action is and may be located within a coastal erosion hazard area. In fact, geological features. Those action may result in the modification or destruction of habitat access to any unique or unusual landforms on the site.
Not at all.
Impacts of surface water. Those actually affect one or more wetlands and other surface water bodies.
No, no.
Impact of groundwater. Those actually result in a new or additional use of groundwater or may have the potential to introduce contaminants to the groundwater in the aquifer.
No, no.
Impact of flooding. Closed action may result in the development on land subject to flooding.
No.
This action here, those actions include a state regulated air emission source.
No.
Impact on plants and animals, those actions result in a loss of flora or fauna. Impact on agricultural resources. Those actions may impact agricultural resources.
No.
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 Impact on the aesthetic resources. Land use, the proposed actions are obviously different from or in sharp contrast to current land use patterns between the proposed project and a scenic or aesthetic resource.
No.
In fact, the historic or archaeological resource. Those actions may occur in or adjacent to a historic or archaeological resource.
No.
In fact, open space and recreation. Those actions may result in the loss of recreational opportunities and a reduction in open space resources as designated in any adopted municipal open space plans.
No.
In fact, in the CEA, those actions may be located within or adjacent to a critical environmental area.
No.
No, we don't have any. In fact, in energy, those actions may cause an increase in the use of any form of energy.
Yes, but small.
Yes,
but
small.
Thank you. Those actions require a new or an upgrade to an existing substation. That's no. Those actions will require the creation or extension of an energy transmission supply system to serve more than 50 single or two-family residents or serve a commercial or industrial use.
No.
That's a no. Those actions may utilize more than 2,500 megawatts per hour of electricity. Those actions may involve heating and or cooling of more than 100,000 square feet of building area.
Wow. Peter, did you address question 13, impact on transportation at the top?
That's one I didn't like. In fact, I think those actions result in a change for existing transportation systems. Thank you, Jim.
Yep.
No.
Okay. In fact, of noise, odor, and light. The proposed action results in an increase in noise, odor, and outdoor lighting.
No, it's not.
Is that a no or a yes?
Well, it's what? No, it's small.
No, it's small.
Yeah.
So it's enough. So it's enough.
Okay.
It's not a moderate power, so it's a moderate power.
In fact, in human health, those actions may have an impact on human health and the recovery of newly existing sources of contaminants.
No.
I lost page 10.
Need page 10?
I lost it. What time? I don't have to. It's a novel.
Here you go.
Thank you. Consistent with the community character. The proposed action may replace or the proposed action is inconsistent with existing community character.
No.
Didn't say no to that. Okay.
That's number three.
Thank you. Well, congratulations. Successful completed part two. Well, we need to go to part three. Yeah. discussion can be short, what do you mean? Do I have...
I think it's a unlisted action.
It's unlisted. We have a motion for the final notice.
Make a motion for a negative declaration on the seeker for 112 Harrison Avenue.
Motion has been made to declare
negative
on the environmental assessment form for Harrison Avenue Apartments. To the motion, do I have a second?
I'll second that.
A motion has been made and seconded. Any further discussion? If not, call the roll, please.
John Arnold?
Aye.
Eric Bergman?
Yes.
Ian Perdue?
Aye.
Mike Shaver?
Aye.
Gerald Bouchard?
Aye.
Adam Siebel?
Aye.
Peter Jensen?
Aye. I have seven in the affirmative. Is that correct?
Yes.
Motion carries. Now that was so much fun. We also have scheduled for this evening a public hearing on this proposal. And in keeping with our stated goals for our public hearing, our ground rules are simple. Anyone who has a question, want to ask a question or comment concerning this application is encouraged and invited to do so. And we would request, although it's not mandated, that if you do have a question, you'd like to make a comment, you simply state your name, and that's for record keeping purposes only. So in 5 years from now, we can come up and say, Jenny Jones said, rather than someone said. And our third and probably most important ground rule for the whole thing is that we will maintain some sense of decorum. With that, anyone who would like to ask a question, make a comment concerning the Harrison Avenue Apartments?
Just for the record, it was properly advertised and noticed, and we didn't get any written correspondence concerning the hearing. Well, I'll check. That's a good point.
Jim, help me make out the sidewalks down there.
Paul's opinion was that he'd like to see the sidewalk remain on their property. He does not want to have it in the right of way.
So what are we doing? I'll introduce the project to the board. I know we've looked at it a few times, but there are a few members of the public, so I might as well go through what we are proposing. For the record, I'm Joe Danimal with the Environmental Design Partnership here on behalf of Skirmhorn Residential Holdings and their application for a 16-unit apartment community located at 112 Harrison Avenue. Overall view of the site, Harrison Avenue running east-west. The yellow trapezoid on the south side of Harrison Avenue is the two-acre parcel. That parcel does contain an existing house, as well as the wooded area behind the house. The property is within the UR zone. Multifamily residential is a permitted use within that district. Again, a little more close-up of the existing conditions in the site. Again, existing single-family residents, curb cut onto Harrison Avenue. The remainder of the site is generally wooded with a mix of deciduous and evergreen vegetation common to the area. Now on this orientation, north is to the right, opposite, slightly rotated 90 degrees from the previous slides. We're proposing a single curb cut onto Harrison Avenue, where we come into the site to provide access to the four individual buildings, each housing four apartment units. Each unit will be equipped with a garage and spaces to park behind the garage, as well as additional parking on the opposite side of the driveway. There's a turnaround 3/4 of the way down the road for emergency services, which does comply with all international fire code standards as well as meets the turning criteria for the local fire trucks that may respond to the site. We've provided an area for a refuse enclosure for all the residents to be able to leave their trash at. We've provided a mail kiosk. That's a small brown building opposite the first six parking spaces in on the left. We have a comprehensive stormwater pollution prevention plan that complies with all state regulations. I think everyone's in receipt of the latest letter from LaBerge Engineering. They had a couple comments on there about adding some additional notes. As you will see as we get further down the slides, we did add those additional notes that were requested by the town's engineer. Therefore, I think we've completed their review. Ultimately, we will get a final sign-off letter from them. We did have some conversations at the previous meeting related to sidewalk placement associated with the storm ponds. We're willing to do whatever the town wants us to do. Certainly, the apartment community immediately to the west is also owned by Skirmhorn Residential Holdings. In that scenario, which was approved maybe 5-6 years ago, the town wanted and approved the sidewalk to be located within the right-of-way. In this scenario, we're now told we want it out of the right-of-way. We're going to have to make, if we do bring it into our property onto the right-of-way, there's going to have to be an easement to the town for them, for the use of it as a public right-of-way for use by the town's residents. We're going to have to make some, it's going to have to start in the right-of-way and then come back into our property and maybe meander back out of into the right-of-way in order to make that happen. It's kind of going to create an irregular situation. Again, we're willing to do whatever the town wants us to do. We're hoping to get some consistency as we develop this corridor as to where the sidewalks are going to be. And I think from the town's perspective, they'd like them in a straight line, consistent with the edge of pavement, similar to how you would expect that. So, again, either way, you tell me where you want it, the town tells me where they want it, and we'll make that happen with the appropriate easements in place.
I can intercede for just a moment.
Jim,
did he say why he wanted it out of the town's right of way? Is that for access to utilities or something?
Because they didn't want to maintain.
Okay.
Yeah, he'd rather,
But Skirmhorn is maintaining the sidewalk on the project that's west of that, even though it's in the town right of way. But if it is in the town right of way, I thought maybe it was the liability.
I think it's a combination of those factors.
Okay.
So Paul doesn't want it out of the right of way.
He does want it out of the right of way. Nobody told me.
Okay.
I did inform him that the adjoining property does have the sidewalk, you know, in the right of way there, but I'm just telling you what he told me. So.
Okay, yeah, and I agree. It should be out of the right of way because, you know, I went down there today and saw one that has not been cleaned yet, and it's in the town's right of way. So that, to me, I think that would make the town responsible, so we're trying to avoid that. My opinion, and I think the highway deserves something. You're right. We are too late. We should have done it right from the beginning.
I mean, from a legal standpoint, there's a lot of laws specifically about sidewalks, either on property, off property, on property with an easement, or on the town's land without an easement. I don't know that there's actually any different liability either way, from at least a legal precedent on that scenario. But I know it is the responsibility of the owner of the property to properly maintain that sidewalk. In this scenario, that's what would be offered in either scenario.
All right, so in this scenario, our highway superintendent, who's responsible for the right-of-way, is saying no.
Correct.
Okay. Then my opinion is that's what we should do.
Is that right-of-way on Harrison, is that owned by the town? Or is it just a right-of-way over their property?
I think it's owned in fee. I think it is.
Okay.
It is a right-of-way.
I think that's different. So, it's like out by me, the right-of-way is actually on my property. So as much as the town has the right to it, I can't build in it, I can't put my fence in it, it's still my land.
It's called a road by use.
Yeah. So what? But you're saying Harrison is one where the town actually owns the land the road is on and the right.
I believe that is the case.
Okay.
I don't know, but seems like it's in the case.
Okay. I don't know that it's a fact. Let me go on the record as saying that, but I believe it's the case.
Okay. Well, thank you. I just was curious, because as soon as you said that you have to have an arrangement that allows the public onto it, then I'm thinking, okay, well, that's probably still going to relieve the liability. It's still going to put the liability onto the public around the town at that point. I can't imagine right now it doesn't.
Right. It's a public sidewalk. There's a lot of rules and regulations. Right. I haven't read them all, but...
And then, honestly, we're not asking you to build a public sidewalk that you're going to put a toll gate on. It's not like you're going to own that sidewalk and your tenants can use it. The idea is it is a public sidewalk. It would seem to me the public sidewalk should be on the public right of way. That's my position on it. But I'm not Paul, and it's his choice. So...
We asked, and that's what he said.
Yeah. So,
John, I think you're right. It's just that the town is not set up to maintain sidewalks. I'm not sure Paul wants to get into that. So, but you're right what you're saying.
I think if this were a city, it'd be a little bit different.
Correct.
Of course.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Very good.
I'm
going to interrupt you right now. Mr. Martin, do you have anyone on virtual?
We do have two people on. I'm not sure why, you know, they're on, but I do see two people joining us. They are self-muted, so if they'd like to speak, they certainly can. I'll ask them to unmute if they have any comment. I've asked them both to unmute, so I'll let you know if you want to keep going, but
okay.
I did...
folks that we can't see.
Let me see here. I'll ask.
So, just continuing on, we did do, at the board's request, we did a traffic assessment for the 16 units. That traffic assessment was then requested to be reviewed by a third party. Town's third party engineer for this property was GPI, Greenwood Peterson. They reviewed it. I've read through it. I'm sure the board's read through it. They concur with all the findings of the traffic assessment as proposed and take no exception to it. Therefore, we have a plan that does not have any impact, as you found in Seeker, to traffic adjacent to the property. This is the sheet that we were talking about. The town's engineer commented on a few items on this sheet. We did, somewhat hard to read, but we did add a note here about separation of groundwater, further request. We also added a note here that would require the monitoring well within the basins to extend down to 3 feet below the bottom of the basins. Those are the two requests, and then there was a note about construction sequencing that was also updated as part of that. So again, I think we have a very solid set of plans. We're here tonight, obviously, for a public hearing, and ultimately, if the board deems it appropriate, we'd like to obtain a final approval tonight.
Whoa, what's that?
It's a very positive attitude.
It's Christmas. We should all be positive right now.
The one person's responded back saying they have no comment around for another item on the agenda.
Okay.
I asked the second person, and I haven't gotten any comment yet. There was a third person on a report from the Polestar just observing the meeting.
I'm Denise Creek. I live at 101 Sisson Road, which is right on the corner of Sisson and Harrison Avenue. We already have enough Skimmelhorn apartments down there. What's going on with the water? Why are we the highest paying water district? What's going on with the school system? When you're putting these many apartments in, what's going to happen? The traffic that he's talking about has gotten ridiculous down there. I'm just waiting for someone to get killed on that road now, because all you get is kids and adults speeding up and down that road, and there's a lot of kids already walking up and down that road. Taxes, what's that going to do with our taxes? I don't think we need any more skim on.
Thank you. Anyone else? Nothing further on virtual?
Nope, they both responded back if they're here for another item.
No, no, no. Okay, great, thank you. Then, public hearing is closed. Board, what do you want to do?
Peter, this is Ann. To get back to the sidewalk question, sidewalks are going to, if it's not a problem for this project, it's going to be an issue with regard to a number of projects, including several we're looking to on Route 9. And the concept that we keep the town cannot take care of sidewalks or is not prepared to take care of them is a little concerning, particularly if we do want to encourage safe pedestrian traffic generally. If someone, or an applicant or developer, is willing to construct the sidewalk in the first instance, I would think it would be to the benefit of the town generally to then maintain them. I believe that, as a practical matter, the sidewalks are supposed to be shoveled in the winter by the adjoining property owner. I'm not entirely certain of that, but I think that's the case in other municipalities. So, you know, but maybe this is the first time we're confronting it with regard to a project, but the sidewalks are kind of something they need to sort out.
Well, I have to somewhat agree, and I think it's very odd that a public sidewalk, the public does not want, the town does not want. I think it's short-sighted on our part. And we had the brouhaha of the first go-around with somebody else's. We came up with that the developer would place the sidewalks and they would begin the right of way. And that would automatically make them a town responsibility. So now we have an official of town saying we don't want to maintain them. Not that they don't want them, but they don't want to maintain them. I think that's a question that needs to go to council. We're not the ones to make those types of decisions for the town. My personal opinion, it should be in the right of way, and it should be maintained. And they will throw rocks and eggs at me when I go out the door, but that's not fine.
Well, if I can add to that, I'm going to ask the applicant, do you believe that your client would have a problem with maintaining the sidewalks if they were placed on the town right away?
No, my client already maintains the sidewalks that are on town property on the adjacent parcel and certainly proposed to do so in this instance as well.
But then, I'm going to agree with Ann and Pete on this, and I guess I would refer it to Paul and ask him to come up with a... I respect his opinion. I'd like to know why he's changed his position on this, because I do know that the previous one, he specifically said he wanted it in the right-of-way.
Yeah.
If it's in the right-of-way, then the town has right to it.
Yes.
We don't have to ask you to give permission for people to use it. People will use it. And I don't have a problem with the applicant being required to maintain it. Yeah. Thank you for building it. If we have to tear it up to move a utility that's in the town right away, the town should be responsible for replacing it, not you. But you certainly can maintain it for now, and the fact that you're putting it in there for everybody to use is very nice of you. So,
I don't agree with that. The problem I have is I went down there today, was a prime example, and it wasn't done.
But that's a matter of enforcement, then.
Well, exactly, and I think where we need to go is where what our code says, and really look at what legal says about it. Our highway guy is going to be the guy that's, you know, it's in his right of way, and he's responsible for that right of way, and I think we have to respect his opinion.
Was that sidewalk? I guess my position is that sidewalk wasn't maintained today. It probably didn't matter if it was in the right of way or on the landowner's property.
Well, I think if it's in the town's right of way, then the town would be somewhat responsible. And what I'm trying to do is avoid if something happens down there, I guess.
Okay.
I respect that. Yeah, thank you.
I respect that.
That's good, except we can't expect or anticipate the town to relinquish any responsibility for anything. I think if we let this thing snowball, then why not have the highway is owned by somebody else. And that getting to the point is ridiculous, but it's an example of what can happen. If it's a town-owned sidewalk, then the town is responsible, and they need to maintain it. If they don't, they get code enforcement gets called. But we need to do it. To try and obligate an applicant because he's trying to get his project to absolve the town of responsibility if it's in a public. And you can still throw my exactly when I got the door. Andy Brunner.
But I mean, from my applicant's standpoint, we certainly would like some direction on where to go. We've agreed to do it either way. Certainly our preference is within the right-of-way, as we are not taking people onto our property, and we do regularly maintain it, whether or not it didn't get maintained the first snowstorm of the year. I think that's potentially an anomaly that just maybe is an oversight, but it certainly has been maintained in the past. And I wouldn't want to hold up this project. It is something that we've been discussing for a few meetings now, and it just seems like we have kind of maybe a split board, or most of the board wants it within the right-of-way, and some don't.
But you say we want to see you come back.
I'll be back here at multiple projects, okay. I'm sure. I like it up here.
You've heard the request. You have a block application. Now, two. A couple of changes that you may wish to make. You may table it. You may approve, subject to council's determination. Or you can just tell them to get out.
Okay. Yeah, speaking for myself, I'd be in favor of approving it, you know, with council being the final word on on the sidewalk location. You know, if the council says that, you know, it's in the right of way, but the landowner needs to maintain it, and that's because I know that's the way it is in cities. Landowners can get, you know, homeowners can get fined or whatever if they don't shovel the sidewalk. It's pretty common. So if council comes back with that's the, you know, law of the land, or that, or with some wording to make it the law of the land, then I think it'd be a lot easier for it's in the right of way. You know, but putting the responsibility back on the landowner to shovel it.
How does it appear on the plans at the moment?
At the moment, it is within the right of way to match up with the adjacent sidewalk.
Is there a note on the plans that says to be maintained by owner?
I could look, but I could make sure that note is on the plan if it remains in the right of way.
I think I'll get a good short-term solution.
Well, I think if one way forward that wasn't mentioned is we could approve the project as is if that note is on there, but with the stipulation that it has to go past legal to make sure they're okay with the placement of the sidewalk. That way we're still moving forward. It's kind of just going at it from a different direction, so it doesn't have to come back to us after that. And if that's how it is in the plans, then we're approving a set of plans as they are. And then leaving it that they may need to have an adjustment made.
Yeah, I'd be amenable to that, approving the plans as is, and then ultimately, as long as this board would approve it on the right of way or outside of the right of way, depending upon council and staff recommendations, we're good with that.
Okay, well, what do you want to do?
Make a motion to grant preliminary approval for 112 Harrison Ave apartments with the stipulation that the wording that was just mentioned about the owner taking care of the sidewalk in the public right of way is added to the set of plans.
Yep.
And that final determination on the sidewalk matter to be handled by council.
Okay, I do not disagree in anything that you said, except for one thing. We do not have conditional approval on the site plan. No. We approve it on the site. So you can approve subject to those conditions.
You can approve subject to.
Yes. Is there a desire to change the motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve subject to the conditions just mentioned, which are including a note on the plan set that the owner will be responsible for maintenance of the sidewalk.
Okay.
And that final legal determination will be promptly with more attention.
Okay. Motion to make. To the motion, do I have a second?
Second.
Mr. Arnold, seconds.
Nope.
She's been made and second. Any further discussion?
Suzanne, I've got a question. In the legal determination that you're looking for, if Carla says it's okay for this type of arrangement where the developer agrees to maintain the sidewalk, then nothing further needs to be done with that issue. If she says there's a legal problem, I think it may have to come back to us to consider how we're going to resolve it. Is that the way you understand the motion?
The motion is to pending a legal. So we can do just about anything that the legal tells us to do in the form of this motion. And obviously, if they tell us we can't do that, we're going to have a quick discussion with the applicant. And does it need to come back here? No. But because we have approved subject to council. So we don't need to see the bright smiling faces again for this issue. They're welcome to come back and anything else, and we'll throw stones at them. So other than that, any further discussion?
Yeah, I got one thing. I think we need to respect our water or our highway superintendent and being that he's responsible for that right away. I don't agree with what we're.
Okay, that's fine.
But that's fine. But I just want it for the record.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
Mike.
Yes, Jerry.
This is Jerry. I just did a quick search in our code of sidewalks, and it said that chapter 121-1 in our code says that no person shall construct, reconstruct, or repair any sidewalk on or along any streets or highways in the town of Monroe without first having made written application for permission to do so to the building inspector and or code enforcement officer. The highway superintendent has no, they're going to reference them in our town code. Okay. So while I'm not saying that it's not proper for him to have some input, I don't know that it's his call.
So he's not responsible for the town right away then?
He is responsible for, but he does not have the authority to approve or disapprove anything that goes in.
Okay.
So, I mean, the town board hasn't given him that authority, as I read it.
Yeah, thank you, Jerry.
Yep.
Yeah, this is Jim. I think what's important about that passage you just read, Jerry, is the implication of that is the town's not even considering maintenance. In any instance, that's what I read out of that section, that it is totally the responsibility of the private landowner and the town simply enforcing that. There is not even a scenario by which the town will ever consider maintenance of sidewalks.
So really what we said is that the town says it's okay for a private contractor to work in the right of way and maintain that sidewalk.
Correct.
According to the code.
Right. Now, what I think should be done, and I'm sure Carla would come through with this, the same opinion is that if this does, in fact, end up in the right of way, we have to grant them permission, give them an easement to come into our property and maintain that section of the
That's the pretty much what the code says.
Yep.
Yeah. Again, thank you, Jerry. Yeah.
And I think that's consistent with what Paul's attitude towards this is, and Paul's concerned about quickly being overwhelmed if he starts taking on maintenance responsibilities over sidewalks. The cost, the equipment, the labor, the effort would quickly become a real issue.
We've heard Paul that we don't have any intention of him having to maintain this. And even in the Route 9, if you get into a commercial corridor, all right, the landowners are usually still responsible for those sidewalks. They may have a business district that hires a contractor to clear everybody's sidewalks, but they're still responsible for their sidewalks.
And I can tell you, in my experience this over the years, I've been Queensbury, Glens Falls, here, Glenville. Nobody's got, you know, a perfect answer for this. It's every community struggles with sidewalk maintenance.
Yep.
Because it's very difficult to have the staff and the time and the money to do it as a township. But yet, you know, it is also difficult for the individual property owners in getting uniformity, you know, in that maintenance practice. I mean, you can go down any street in any community, and one property owner is very diligent, others get to it when they do, and others just don't ever touch it. And how that's enforced?
Yeah. Our code clearly states it's going to happen, so. Yeah, okay, I'm good with it. Thank you again, Jerry.
You are welcome.
Have we got a motion and a second?
Yes, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
Joe. Clarification, Chairman. The motion was for preliminary approval.
No. No. We don't have preliminary approval. So.
Okay, I heard preliminary in there, so I want to make sure that's, that was the
This is for approval.
Yes. And we're okay with the sewer, right? Yep. I think I asked last time.
We're
okay.
Just checking to make sure you were paying attention. Yep. That's all.
There's one other condition that should be added to the approval, and that is the final sign-off of reverse on the SWIFT comments. I think they're minor, but there's that price should be in there as well.
Yes.
Yes.
Understood.
Good catch.
Okay. To the motion. Would you call the roll, please?
Second. John Arnold?
Aye.
Eric Bergman?
Yes.
Ann Perdue?
Yes.
Mike Shaver?
Yes.
Gerald Bouchard?
Aye.
Adam Siebel?
Yes.
Peter Jensen?
Aye. Go ahead. 7 in the affirmative, Madam Secretary, is that correct?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Thank you.
Okay, so there's a motion on it.
Make motion that the chairman and one other member sign the Mylar and present it to the field department.
Motion's been made for the chair and one other member of the planning board to sign the Mylar and one other carried. Good motion, Madam Secretary. Motion's been made for second. Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Abstention.
I'll make us start something.
Motion carries. Okay.
Perfect.
Thank you. Next thing I have on the agenda for this evening is off-road car wash. Do we have one of those?
I'm back. Give me 1 second.
We told you could come back.
I promise or threaten you that I'd be back. I'm sure with one.
I think it was a threat.
Set up. Just clarification for the board members and anyone else that item 3, all time fresh and being marked, has requested to be removed from this evening's agenda. We will not be addressing those folks this evening. They requested for January, and they might even show up then. So, do we have a hop in the telescope? Let's go.
Okay, good evening. Joe Danable. I'm with Environmental Design Partnership. I'm here with Marty Andrews, who's the Director of Development for Hoffman Car Wash. I'm also here with Tom Hoffman, who is the CEO of Hoffman Car Wash. Third person in the audience here tonight is Alana Moran, BHB. They did the traffic study for the proposed development. We've recently received a letter comments from the town reviewing engineer, who I believe is Creighton Manning Associates in this account. So we will be having some discussion about that tonight as we move forward as well. Quick overview, everyone's familiar with the site. We had a multiple lot subdivision on this property. We're right at the intersection of Route 197 and Route 9, directly opposite the light, the former Auto World. We subdivided it. I think we got final approval sometime in May, maybe earlier than that, April of this year. We now have the first commercial development coming forward. It is the Kaufman's Car Wash. We've seen this a couple times in its conceptual stage and in its preliminary stages. Again, we're on Route 9. We're in the C1 commercial zoning district. Car wash is an allowable use within that zone. Again, the existing condition, other than the building on the north or right side of the lot, which has been demolished, which was a condition of the approval of the subdivision, the site remains consistent with what you see in the picture here. Former auto dealership, vacant parcel of land in the north, some wooded areas out back. So what we are looking to do is to develop Lot 2. This is the approved subdivision plan that's on file with the county offices. We're looking at developing Lot 2. I can do this here. No. Keep thinking I have a touch screen. No, that's not working. Lot 2 is the northern plot, or the right-most lot. Coming in from the intersection would be to the right northwest portion of the property. So what we are doing is we're putting three lanes exiting out of the development onto Route 9. We have one lane in, a lane going out and to the left, and one lane going to the right. We come into the site, we're about 100 feet in, we take a right into the car wash. We then circulate in a counterclockwise motion, past the exit of the car wash up to the terminals where you enter your numbers or go through the gates. Come around and turn, come into the car wash, go through the car wash, take a right out, exit into the parking lot, or into the access road. The area between the parking lot, which is in between the access road and the building, is where the vacuum cleaners will be located. We're also providing trash enclosures up on the, I'd say, the most northeastern end of the site. Those will be accessible by garbage trucks, which is probably the largest vehicle that will be maneuvering that site. The site of the car wash itself will handle a pickup truck is the largest vehicle that will be able to go through there. No other vehicles, anything larger than that, would be circulating around the north or right side of the building from this position. We are going to be connecting to public sewer, public water, and ultimately as the public sewer is being built, we will be connecting to the public sewer as well. We've completed a comprehensive stormwater plan. We've gone through one round of comments with the Burge Engineering. We've responded to their first letter. We resubmitted those responses. We have not received an updated or any new comments from the engineer at this point in time, but certainly willing to work with them and continue to flush out the details of that stormwater management system. We have excellent sandy soils consistent with the majority of the town of Wilton. No interference by groundwater, which makes it a great opportunity for infiltration on the property, and again, having green infrastructure in compliance with that manual. We have a comprehensive planting plan. Anyone that's been to a Hoffman car wash any time in the last 5 to 10 years certainly sees that landscaping is first and foremost. They have some of the nicest landscaping I've seen in the area personally for any car wash, and the new one that they look to construct here in the road would be no exception to that rule. Here's a character photo. I can say the building's exactly like this, but this is the generally the appearance and the architectural features that are going to be constructed on the property as part of the car wash. Again, a very attractive building, well-landscaped, well-maintained properties. I think a beautiful addition to the town of Moreau. Last slide. We did a plan showing stacking of vehicles, understand how many vehicles can be stacked waiting to go into the car wash. Within this, without any interference, we're looking to be able to stack about 35 vehicles waiting to enter the car wash. So plenty of room to have cars waiting and not interfere with traffic exiting or entering the site. So with that, I guess we're here. We can answer any questions. I don't know if there's some additional information that the team would like to present, or just respond and see how it goes.
We've been planting flowers for more than 15 years.
I'm sorry. I'm only going to drive 55.
Alana Moran with PHB. So the traffic study was completed end of October, and we just received comments, like Joe had said, for the traffic study itself. So we have kind of some minor responses to those as far as the way it's written up right now. Do you want me to go through that kind of as a comment by comment? Do you want to, how do you want to go through this?
It's a broad brush.
Broad brush. Okay, so essentially the traffic study is showing that the intersection will operate at overall level service C with the proposed project and turning the red flash that's on right now, turning it to three-color operation. What we're recommending in this study is that the applicant coordinate with New York State DOT to potentially restrike that northbound approach to provide a left turn lane there where it's all hashed out. Not because it's a level of service thing, it operates the same with or without that turn lane, but just because it's a good way to get vehicles kind of out of the way up through traffic. So that needs to be done with DOT, though, just to confirm that the striping is really going to work there just because of the way the lane arrangement works and the turn from 197. So that would be something to coordinate with DOT. The Creighton Manning comment letter basically agreed that that's a good thing to do as far as to look into that with DOT. They did have some questions about trip generation, a difference of opinion on which data to use for that trip generation estimate, but that's something we can get into in responses as we work our way through.
So let me just be clear on that. So what's the intersection operating at today, levels of service?
Right now it's overall level service C. So it's about 19 seconds of average filling.
So it is a drop in the level of service.
It would be a drop in level of service. Once you turn on the three color and just add that additional potential delay, that's when it drops to the C.
Okay. And where are you at in your DOT approval process?
We have submitted everything to DOT along with the stage one of the Firm 33COM, which is basically their highway work permit, or the first part of the highway work permit application. We have not yet heard back, and I typically don't bug them until it's been about 6 weeks, so I guess it's time to start bugging them.
Okay.
Okay, more questions?
I'm not sure who to ask the question to, but are utilities going to be put in when that road gets subbed in? To go down that road, the water and the sewer, or are they going to be done after, or?
You know, I don't know what the approach they're taking. Joe, what are you doing? Are you doing a lateral directly from Route 9, or are you going to?
We're proposing for this building is two laterals directly out to Route 9. Whether or not there are future utilities extended up that road, I think it depends on ultimately what gets developed in the rear. For this parcel, as it exists, there's really only one more piece of land here. If nothing is to ever happen over there, running laterals for that rear parcel is more than adequate, and then this building certainly connects to the road. If something bigger was to happen in the future, they probably would be required to run mains up there, or dedicated mains at that point in time. I don't know. I don't have control over that land.
So we're going to put the road in with no utilities. Is that correct?
Right now, it's going to be, it's technically a driveway, Mike, but it is going to essentially be the first leg to that road someday, if it's ever all built.
Okay.
This will be the first leg.
Okay, just wanted to clarify.
But they are going to have their own dedicated lateral.
Yeah, right, coming right off Route 9.
Correct.
Okay. So this three-lane driveway is going to be maintained by Hoffman's?
So there is an agreement on this portion of land. All three owners, well, two owners. Right now there's this lot, and then all this is one lot at this point in time.
Right.
There's an agreement in place for maintenance of the area within this easement. Right now, Hoffman's is the only user on that road, so they would be maintaining it until these other properties developed, and then there's maintenance agreements in place for that easement.
So DOT is turning on that three-way traffic light for a driver. I'm not saying that's out of the ordinary. I'm just saying that's the fact that we have.
Yes.
Okay.
John, I'm already in Hoffman Bezel. We had a long time ago down at Whitman Park. It's almost a similar type of situation on our Route 9 in Half Moon.
Yes.
And that was stubbed in. We were the only one there. And then later on, come Robin, and then all those other developments came in behind us.
Okay.
We did the same thing at that time.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure I was clear on that, if that's what they're doing. On your map, you have a thing called a vacuum coral.
Vacuum corral.
I'm assuming there's an R missing. It should be corral.
Sounds right.
Yeah. But it's right now, it's in an area that I was curious about. I see the dumpsters are there, and I'm wondering how a dumpster truck, I assume they're going to come in on the left side of the building and drive right straight back to those dumpster things. But how are they getting back out?
Yeah, so this area here.
Yeah, because they're not driving around the building.
Correct. No, they're going to come in, back around, and come out.
So they're going to back around towards the vacuum corral, and then come back out.
Yeah, back out towards
and
this area here.
You check the radiuses, and they work for a dump?
Yeah, before the garbage vehicle, it does.
Okay.
That's an extra wide area of pavement you probably have from this area here to this area there. You're probably about 70 feet.
Okay. All right.
We have not had a public hearing on this yet.
We have not, and we do have seeker information.
And we have not obviously done the seeker either.
Yeah. So, Ward, what do you want to do?
I'm wondering when it is there will be a response to a review that was done by Craig Manning on the traffic study. I think the presentation we had this evening is interesting, but the analysis that Creighton Manning provided was fairly lengthy and detailed. And typically the applicant responds directly to Creighton Manning to address those issues. So is that underway?
Yeah, so like I said, we just received those comments on Friday. So yes, we will provide a formal response to comments letter for everyone to review, including the DOT and the town.
Okay, the letter I'm looking at is dated November 8th. Have you gotten that?
We got it Friday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Just in time for the meeting.
Right.
We're in the process.
And how quickly might you respond? I know you just got it, but do you have an idea of what your time frame is?
We've responded to Vern's letter. I think the next submission date, wanting to get out of January public hearing, is like over the holidays.
Yeah, that's the part I'm thinking about.
Right.
The vacation calendar is coming. If not the week, certainly not this week, but if not next week, early the following. And it's really a matter of where people are. So what is the...
So you're into like January 4th?
Yes.
That would be
like the week after New Year's.
Right. When is the submission date again? Is that January 4th?
I think it's the 3rd.
3rd is a Sunday.
Yeah, 4th.
Oh, sorry, we're looking at 2021.
Yeah, and we could get it in by the 3rd for that submission date.
Yeah, it's the 3rd.
Third's probably going to be a holiday for a lot of people.
Okay, but Jim? We haven't done it yet, but our January meeting is not normally the third Monday.
It'll be the fourth.
It'll be the fourth Monday. So that moves the date for submission to a week later.
Yeah, so yeah, we do have five Mondays in January, so that actually works out pretty well. So, yeah, I did forget that. So the submission date would be the 10th.
Oh, fantastic. Certainly by the next meeting, the submission date then.
So our meeting is January 24th.
Okay.
So ideally, we have all of the responses in, and we can have a public hearing for the 24th.
Well, that's up to the board. If they want to
set. We're excited, yeah. We're just saying it could happen.
We're hoping. We're feeling really good. We have a very positive attitude tonight. It's how we started it and want to keep it going.
Can you tell us Joe was here in February 18th?
February 18th. I'm sure I'll be here in January anyway.
Uh-huh. Lord, what do you want to do?
So we're waiting on the traffic, the reply back, and also on stormwater?
Yeah, those appear to be the two.
Yeah. Yeah, we've responded, and I believe Verge does have those responses. I think it's just a matter of getting them to finalize their letter and get it back to us. Jim, and just related to SEACR, has this gone to county?
Yep. That's all been sent out.
Okay, Board. Do you want to go volunteer?
Sure. Yeah, I think
it's
a great idea. Sounds like fun. I'll make a motion that we schedule a public hearing for the Hoffman's Car Wash project. I don't have a calendar for January.
January 24th. Monday, January 24th.
Okay. So
we have nothing else. So
I would suggest that we schedule it for January 24th. Monday, January 24th at 7:01 p.m. So I don't believe we have any other
time slots available.
Motion has been made to hold a public hearing for Hoffman Car Wash to the scheduled meeting of January 24th. To the motion, do I have a second?
I'll second.
Eric, motion has been made and seconded. No further discussion?
1422.
If not, I don't really think that's too controversial. All those in favor, aye.
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 Opposed? Abstention? Motion carried.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, a clerical question.
Sure.
Should we change our planning board meeting for January to January 24th?
Yep, we're going to do that in February.
Okay, do you want to do that now
before
we schedule anything else for January 24th for a meeting we don't have? Okay, so I'll make a motion that we change our regularly scheduled planning board meeting for January to the 24th to avoid federal highways and holidays.
Second.
And the same for February.
Second.
I believe it's the fourth Monday of February also.
Fourth Monday, first of the name. The planning board meeting for January and February to the fourth Monday of the month due to federal holidays. Motion, do I have a second?
Aye.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any further discussion?
Just on a discussion point on that, that's also obviously pending the application receipt. If we have a need for a second meeting, I'm probably looking at the 31st. Would be my first gut reaction. I don't know where we stand, but lately we've had a need for a second meeting, and I would probably gravitate towards the 31st.
I would say so.
Okay. But that's not, I don't know what the applications look like yet.
Don't forget the third Monday in February is President's Day.
Yes.
We have the same problem. We always have to.
That's why we just moved that meeting, sir.
You have to move that one, too.
So that would be the 28th, but that's Valentine's Day, so I won't get you guys.
Wow.
Motion has been made and seconded to change the planning board meetings for January and February to the fourth Monday of the month rather than the third Monday due to federal holidays. All those in favor, aye?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions.
Now, I think you just requested that we put you on a February meeting. Is that what you just said?
No,
said February 28th, right?
It just seemed like a very nice date in my head.
Okay, so you want to do that? We'll cancel the January one. We'll make it February. That way you definitely have plenty of time.
You're sure you're waiting for something else.
All right.
Thank you, everyone. Have a Merry Christmas.
I can't leave yet.
Yes, see you. Yeah.
The next item I have on the agenda is Harrison Avenue, the storage unit. We have one of those.
Thank you.
Then, so we have Jackson Bug and the Old Town projects also for January.
Don't need that.
It was an All Town project, you said?
Yeah, All Town, and I thought Jackson Bug also did some along with January.
What's the second one? I didn't hear you.
Jack, CUD.
The All Town Fresh, I'm very certain, is going to come for January. I'm less certain about the PUD. I don't have any confirmation of that yet.
All right.
Evening, Board.
How you doing?
Long time no see. Donald Pigeon here, for the record.
Tell us the story. What's going on?
Well, what's going on, Peter, is they'd like to put up, like, seven new buildings. One of them being a little smaller, over here. It's 30 by 70. And the other six are going to be the same size, 30 by 140. The same size that's there right now.
You think there's a necessity? Or
well, they got the room. They have the room anyway.
Board, you've had a brief opportunity to take a look at this. Do you have any questions, comments, or concerns concerning this layout? Oh, come on,
I can't
move this easy.
Yeah, you can.
I really have nothing on that. I thought the original plan on this had these units in the back already slated as future.
I don't think so.
No, did it just it was like RV storage or something? Yeah. Okay.
I didn't find anything like
it
that.
It would be smart if they did.
Well, I know they said that eventually they thought they hoped to do that, but maybe they decided not to put them on there. Okay.
I think if they just built them, no one would ever know.
Right. So the only thing that I found on this, that was, you know, something I noticed and I'm sure is going to be dealt with, is the plan shows the buildings, but it doesn't show an extension of your gravel.
Yeah, it does. Actually. It does, actually. There's a dash of line over on it.
Is it, so that's going to count as that, too? Is it different line than what the other gravel areas were?
Yeah, there's going to be, they're going to grade it and fix it so that you don't drive right around the buildings.
And actually, that's going to be the limit because we're pretty much at 40% impervious.
Right, exactly, isn't it? Yeah, 40%.
Good.
Can I ask you about the fence? The fence going all the way around it?
Yeah, that's...
I don't see any gates in it.
Well, there are, but... You know, Willie, well, I guess we forgot to label them. There's gates.
Well, because what concerns me down there is if you get into a brush fire or something like that, and these guys want to, you know, go in between... The building, you should have some man gates throughout that, so they're kind of like an escape way, you know.
Well, they're there. I guess we just forgot.
One of the things that I picked up on one of the courses that I took there when we were doing the solar, about the fences around them. There's only one way in and one way out. So if you got a fire in front of those and you had people there,
that they could get out.
All right.
More exits.
Yeah.
Jim, I don't know, is there something in our code that says so many feet of fence around a certain building, you got to have man gates in there or anything like that?
Not that I'm aware of, but I can see where it would be a good idea.
Yeah. So, you know, if you get a, maybe one in every road or something.
There are existing gates right now. I mean, but
well, I don't see any on here.
So. No, they're there though. We just forgot to label them.
Well, I see one gate at the entrance, obviously. But
yeah, right.
Well, that's the that's the main gate.
Well, that's all. I just kind of a safety issue, maybe.
So was the area in the back here on the previous site plan, was that listed as south or all gravel for other storage? Is that the idea?
No, I don't think so. It's the site plan was basically for what's existing right now.
Okay.
But it's all.
This area wasn't gravel and used for storage?
No, it's all sand out there.
So this is the edge of existing crushed stone?
Yeah, no, that's what I saw before. Yeah. So that's what I was getting at. Does this in any way change our SWIP and require a review of the stormwater as we're adding, you know, a fairly sizable addition of impervious?
Yeah, but it's really not that all that much. I mean, I don't even know if it's just an acre. Maybe. Not that really.
Well, I don't know the size on these units, but it's a fairly sizable.
They're labeled on there, 30 by 140.
So then that area is, what do you figure, maybe 170 feet in the back there?
You got a scale. Anybody got a scale?
I don't have a scale with me, so.
Well, I can't.
And you said they're how wide?
30 feet.
30 feet. So there's
30, 60. Yeah, 30, and there's 22.
40. So we're talking about 300 or 400 feet wide, and maybe, or 150 feet wide, maybe 300 or 400 feet in length. That's a fairly sizable area of impervious that's being added to this. So I almost wonder if it might be a good idea to review the stormwater. That doesn't mean.
There, you know, really, I mean, has there ever been a problem? It's pure sand out there, and you got the swales dug all around here. I mean,
I don't know that it's been a problem because I'm looking at a piece of paper with lines drawn on it. That's why I'm asking if it might be a good idea to review the stormwater. That doesn't mean it has to change. Okay, I'm just asking, or at least the remediation has to change.
I wouldn't think it'd be all that necessary because the way the property is, it's flat, sandy.
How much impervious are you at?
I don't really know for sure. Like I say, if it has scale.
40%.
And 40% build out in the lot.
That's the whole property is 40%. I don't think what we're adding is a whole lot. Let me think.
I can get a scale.
Good man, James.
I can use the exercise then.
Okay. Anybody got a calculator? Grab one of those too, James, please. You don't have one? What do you need one for? That man does everything right in his head.
And we're adding about 30,000 square feet of impervious building. And then we're adding all that gravel. And I'm not saying, like I said, I don't know that it's too much. I just don't know. Because I don't know, I'm uncomfortable. I would feel much better knowing that the design that's there right now for stormwater, I was hoping that you were going to say this was gravel before, and I could say, okay, it was gravel.
Well, it is. Actually, up where the buildings are going, it's pretty well gravel.
That's all. The map showed me that this is beyond the.
Well, actually, it is. Though that's pretty hard gravel because I staked these buildings out, John, and I had to drive a big steel pin in every damn hole to get a stake in. As hard as rock. He's got it packed with item 4 already prepared. You know, in the past.
I don't know, so that's the part that makes me uncomfortable. It could be just me, and we're wasting like everybody's time, but I'm okay with it. We can move along as far as I care. I just was a little curious.
No. Basically adding about 290 by 170.
That's a little long.
Let the minutes reflect that the zoning administrator got the scale for the surveyor.
Is it 290 by 170? I'm pretty close to 170. I'm a little bit off.
So 290 times 170 equals 49,300 square feet.
So over an acre. So I don't remember, a long time ago when we did this site plan, so I don't remember how much extra capacity was built into the stormwater plant. It's probably plenty.
I really don't see a problem with that myself. I mean, being out there on the site, there's water, it doesn't settle anywhere. It's all gone. Even the drainage swales. If it's not, if you don't go out there right after like a big rain, they're dry. They dry up. There's really no water laying around the site. It's pure sand, like around here.
You want to put a tenant bed in there then? It's all sand?
Well, you could. You started dig a hole. You probably got sand about, well, I know what my place is, 60 foot deep.
There you go.
60 foot straight down without a pebble on it. Because on the roads that drill my well, he says, as far as I'm going to go, because after that it was in a hard pan, then you could get egg water. But he said, there's a lake under there. And on top of that, in that sand. It's 17 and a half gallons a minute when he first did it. He's got to go water the neighborhood.
Just so everybody understands, if this is approved, that's it for this site. Because he's at 40% impervious, that's a limit in the code. So nothing else is going on this property after this. If this should happen, this would be it. There can't be any more building or gravel or pavement of any kind. He's maxed out.
Yeah, he was. Ding Dong was talking about doing a whole bunch more out back, but I told him. I think this is it. Yeah.
No, this is it.
Jim, this is Ann. Shouldn't there be an environmental assessment form on this? Looks like it's an unlisted action. You're given a number of square feet.
Yeah, it's going to be subject to a seeker, so.
I don't have a seeker on this yet, no.
Hello. My name is Diane Sear. I have someone on our team who's waiting to be entered into the meeting.
There's no public hearing, so for the board. Do you want to allow public comment?
Sure.
Okay, go ahead, Diane.
Sorry, I was just mentioning somebody on our team is waiting to be added to the meeting. He has more information if the official can't answer these questions.
Hi guys, I got in. This is Tim Wilkins. I'm one of the owners of All Purpose Storage.
Welcome.
Did you go up on Janice or what?
Maybe it's just introducing himself. So.
Okay, board.
A secret form regardless.
Right, we're going to need an update on secret. Obviously, we did one for the front part, but we still need to be updated for this. And do you wish to pull a public hearing for this thing? If it is, all those things have been voted to vote.
I don't know that the proposal is that controversial that we need a public hearing personally. I just, as I said earlier, I just would like to be sure that we have stormwater capacity to handle the extra.
We can be sure of anything.
So,
and also, they're flat roof buildings, John. I mean, really, they
flat roof buildings still.
I know, but it's not like a, they're still not like running right off. You know, they're not like
because the flat roof buildings go to gutters, which drain off.
Right, but
right. Okay.
It's really pretty drainable site. I mean,
in those instances where we haven't required a full SWIP, we have required an erosion and sediment control plan, and we have had Matt review it as a stormwater officer for the town.
That's all I'm asking is that somebody just checks the original plan to make sure that the stormwater system that's on site to handle the added, there has the capacity to handle the addition. I'm not asking for you to rewrite the whole SWIP. I just want to know that somebody's taking a look at it and made sure. But otherwise, I don't think it's all that controversial. I think this was always in the plans and certainly isn't allowed use. So
I agree with you, John. I think the applicant owes that to us just to make sure that they're still within the bounds of it.
So usually in those instances, John, we need an erosion and sediment control plan. So we need, silt fence shown, hay bales, that kind of thing. Not a full-blown SWIP. It's something you review with Matt. If that's acceptable to the board, it's up to the board. But at a minimum, that's what we've required in the past.
Okay, so you're looking for silt fence around the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's for erosion control during the building.
Right. And then make sure that the site's properly graded for the runoff. Because I understand your point. We've got this whole area in the back that's undeveloped, and that appears where the water's going today. But
well, that and off in these drainage swales.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
So we need to make sure that system is functioning and it can handle the additional runoff that we have from the new building and the new ground.
Only a little over an acre. So there's not a lot, it doesn't have this capacity there to handle it. And it may require just widening a swale or something, just to make sure that it can, it's not like you're going to have to rebuild everything, it's just to make sure that it can handle it.
And then I think it would be wise to have a note added to the plan that due to the impervious area, the limit's reached,
yeah.
A note be put on here, no further development
right. Is
to occur. So that everybody understands that's the case.
Okay.
Black and white.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, so I'll go back and I have a question. Boris, do you want a public hearing for this project?
I don't think it's controversial. I don't necessarily think you need one.
It's already, there's already a whole bunch of them there. Nobody's even going to know they added a couple more. Seriously. They're not even going to know it. And over here, it's all Glen Falls Cement Company. There's nothing. It never will be with them owning property there, except maybe a quarry. Over on this side, we have Skinhorn's, a big developed area, already done. It's all.
Do I take that comment, Eric, as to being a motion?
Do you have to make a motion not to have a public hearing?
I think we should. Because we usually have one.
I'll make a motion to waive the public hearing for self storage policy.
Okay. Motion's been made to not require or to waive the requirement for a public hearing. For Harrison Avenue Self Storage LLC. To the motion, do I have a second?
I'll second it. Jerry.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any further discussion?
This is Ann. I guess I would err in favor of public hearings on projects like this. They are increasing their capacity by, looks like, more than a third. And I think a lot of people have shown concern about the Harrison Avenue area just generally. So it might be worthwhile to give the public an opportunity to say something if they wanted to. And maybe no one will show up or say anything, but it would, might be a good thing to do.
Okay, thank you. Anything further? If not, to the motion to waive the requirement for the public hearing. We call the roll, please.
John Arnold?
I always have to be first. So.
Eric Bergman?
Yes.
Ian Perdue?
No.
Was that a nay?
Yes, nay.
Okay.
Mike Shaver?
Yes.
Gerald Bouchard?
Yes.
Adam Siegel?
Yes.
Peter Jensen?
Nay. I have 5 affirmative, 2 negative. Motion, is that correct, Madam Secretary?
Correct.
Motion carries. Okay, what else do you want to do, Board? Not time to get lost, I know that. But there's some information that we're looking for.
Correct.
And that should be provided before we charge forward.
I've got stormwater, correct?
Yeah.
And a soil and erosion sediment control plan reviewed by Matt. And I'll try and get comments from Matt, or if he's looked at it and approves it, I'll try and get some correspondence from him. And I got a secret form that's needed.
Mark, do you want to get...
You want to put some hand gates on there for the fence?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Do you want to consult or have...
Yeah, I got those, too.
...the fire department look at it for gates or offer or...
I don't know if we should have fire department look at that. I don't know.
No, just as far as placing on gates, like gates.
Yeah, I think like one at the end of every roadway, so if there's people in there or something. Because there's, you said there's no code on that.
I'll try and find something. Like, there is something. I'll look.
If there is something, but you know, at least every roadway that goes in between the buildings, so they got another escape route out the back or something. Something happens in there, or if they get a brush fire in there, people can get in. It was one of the things that I picked up on when we were doing. I did a class on solar and how they were putting fences around, and that was mentioned, and I just thought this kind of fit into the same scenario.
How does that work with a security fence? So that's the solar. Is it
again? That's a problem, and maybe they should be. Like we have lock keys on our fire trucks.
Right.
So maybe fire should be involved with this.
It's usually a fire department can take care of a lock or a chain pretty quick.
Yeah. I know. I've done that in my past, but I'm just looking for an escape route there, a safety issue, I guess.
To escape the site, not into the site, but out of the site.
Out of the site, right?
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, I think I was dozing off or something. Mr. Martin, we have also a requirement for the note on the plans of notes for further development. Is
yeah, I have that as well.
Thank you.
Once we've caught that before you doze off, Peter.
Huh?
Once we've caught that before you doze off.
That's
pretty good, huh?
Okay. So, Mr. Bishop, do you think you can have that ready for us before sometime?
Tomorrow?
No.
Well, we don't need it tomorrow, but would you like to be on the agenda in January?
Absolutely.
Okay,
yes.
So can you have it by, what date do we need it by?
I think we're looking for the 10th.
The 10th of January.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
If it's the 11th of January, we can move you to the February meeting.
No, that'd be all right.
Okay.
You'll have
January 10th, Don. Write it down.
February 10th.
You sure?
January 10th.
Oh, January. Yeah.
Yes.
January.
22. 22.
Yeah.
I will label all the gates, Mike, in there for you.
Okay, thank you.
There's not a lot.
Mr. Martin, do you have anything further for the board?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I've been trying to get a hold of council
but I just haven't been successful. I will continue the effort to do so, and as soon as Carl and I connect, I'll let you know. But I did have a thought concerning the environmental assessment on biochar.
Okay.
And it is my opinion, this is, I have not talked about this with Carl, this is one of the things I wanted to broach with her, but I would suggest that you consider rescinding your resolution on your lead agent status and refer it back to DEC, given what we've done with this. And I say that after we've gone through the assessment form, I think you had maybe 5 or 6 items that were potentially impactful.
Yeah.
And all but one of those had to do with air emissions. And I know we're going to try and get a third-party review of our own expert, but I got to thinking about this. DEC's got air emissions people on staff. They're going to be doing the air emissions permits. I don't see why we couldn't give the lead agent status to them. We're going to be a coordinating agency. We'll have the ability to comment to them, but they would be the lead agent. They have the professional staff to do that review. They're the permitting agency for that aspect of that project. I think that's a reasonable thing to consider, that you give the lead agent status to them.
It would definitely be a reasonable thing to consider. However, the other part of that is, will they accept?
I it's the first I've broached it. Yeah. So I'm not asking for, you know, it's obviously up to you. If you want to keep it, we'll go on our path that we had of securing a consultant to work with us. But I just thought of that in the intervening time, since I didn't get a chance to talk to Carla yet. I figured I'd raise that with you as something to consider.
I think that we should have input from council.
Yep, definitely.
So you're suggesting that we turn over lead agency for seeker to DEC. That doesn't change any of the other approval.
No.
Correct. You still have site plan purview, and you're still an involved agency. You have opportunity to comment to DEC.
They would report back to our planning board what their findings are under seeker.
And then we would move forward after we have their decision on seeker.
But not just on that portion of seeker, but all of seeker.
All of it.
Mm-hmm. So DEC will do like the CHPO and everything. Yeah. Okay.
It's
an interesting proposal.
What's that?
So that's an interesting proposal.
Yeah.
My thought process was, after seeing the preliminary results of the assessment that was done, you know, at our last meeting, like I said, 5 of the 6 items that rose to further consideration related to air. And then I had a couple members approach me afterwards saying, you know, I really don't know about this air emission stuff at all.
I'm good.
So if that's, and I, to be honest, I don't know anything either. I mean, you know, carbon dioxide and all this, you know, I don't know what levels, you know, they're saying they're putting 100,000 tons a year into the air. I don't know if that's light or a lot, or I don't know.
Of course, the other thing is, the applicant will have a burden.
Sounds like about that.
Because if we turn over lead agency status, then he's got another 30-day window to wait.
Well, it does and it doesn't. I mean, they still have to get their air permit and solid waste permit from DEC.
Yeah.
And those things are going to go on their own timeline, as we know things do with the state.
And to be honest, they may have another 30 days anyways, because we were going to send it out to, we were going to try and find a consultant to give us advice and consent as far as, I mean, there's stuff there that goes well beyond my technical expertise. And that's when we send it out to an engineer of some kind.
You know, even on matters of traffic, I mean, I think it's good that a local board maintains your lead agent status, because it's local traffic, everybody understands, you know, all of that. But air emissions is just highly technical stuff.
My
initial reaction is that it's more than air, it's about the nature of the community as well. And the standard that DEC is employing for purposes of a permit are kind of limited, whereas...
Yeah, but Ann, you're still going to have an opportunity to comment on that.
Yeah, well, I understand.
Well, I mean, if you want to keep it, we keep it. It's up to the board.
I think it's
something to think about. I think it's an interesting proposal, all that said.
And I will broach it with Carla, yeah. And I'm sure she'll have an opinion on it for you as well. She's not heard anything about this, so.
Okay.
That was just a thought I had.
Very good.
That's it?
That's it, okay. Well, seeing as how that is it, take the opportunity to wish each of you and your family the happiest of holidays.
You too, Paul.
And don't do anything crazy. And do I have a moment?
Motion to adjourn tonight's meeting.
Motion is made. So second.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas. Oh, thank you.
Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Bye, Jerry.
I'll call you tomorrow, Mike.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, send me your telephone number.
Oh, I will.
Yeah, I'm back. See ya.
Bye.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Recording stopped.
Every meeting I guess I think I've not seen them once.
That's a good night.
Well, you were on the rally. I thought you were
at the time. I heard. Tuesday, I called him back. Monday, I called back.
What's up? Come in and see us tomorrow.
From that brownhill.
Okay. Well, Thursday afternoon.